Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
I welcome you to this healing banquet service. A banquet is a buffet, which means you take as much as you want. Therefore, I declare in the name of Jesus, because it is free, Jesus paid the price for your healing, health, and wholeness, so you can take as much as you want this morning. Therefore, no one will return home the same. In the name of Jesus, I welcome everyone connected to us virtually this afternoon, and I welcome everyone in-house. Our focus for the month is godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things. And our topic of discussion, since the month began on Sunday, is captioned, Understanding the Cost and Cure of Ungodliness. Nothing of value is ever free. Godliness is at a cost. Righteousness is not just what we believe or declare, but what we do. It is at a cost. Likewise, ungodliness is at a cost. If you won't pay the price of godliness, then you will pay the cost of ungodliness. No wonder Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So even though we receive the righteousness of Christ, he paid for it, but we must not continue to sin willfully. There's a price to pay when you live in sin, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the cost of ungodliness? We run through that very quickly. Number one, ungodliness engenders failure and defeat. Ungodliness engenders failure and defeat. When you live a life of sin, don't expect success. When you live in sin, don't expect to be successful. For instance, the Bible says marriage is honorable when the bed is not defiled. So if you are not married and you are living in sin or fornication with your partner, when you have problem when you are married, don't blame God. You already created an avenue of failure in your marriage by committing sin when you know that is a sin. So that is what he's saying. Ungodliness will always end in defeat. Ungodliness will always end in failure. The reason is God is not there. God is a God of success, and God cannot behold sin. He loves sinners. He loves the whole world. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you, but what God doesn't love is your habit of sin. That's why if you fail, you are to blame. You can't blame God if you live in sin. The cost of ungodliness is failure and defeat. If the devil overcomes you in any battle, watch your life. So a prayer to pray every day is, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any sinful way in my life. Lord, forgive me. Therefore, I declare in the name of Jesus, today someone shall be cleansed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I spoke in the first service about a little city that was kind of underrated by the army of Joshua. And they defeated them. The reason being that somebody sinned in the camp. Achan sinned in the camp. And because of that little sin, God was not with them. So they lost the battle. I pray in the name of Jesus we will not lose any battle again. In the name of Jesus Christ. We also saw in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6 to 15, how Absalom died mysteriously because he rebelled against his father. He died. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And the Bible says, suffer no witch to live. So just beware of all of these little sins. Most times you always think it's the big sins. When we begin to think, oh, have you done anything? No. I don't fornicate. No. I don't commit adultery. No. I don't steal anybody. Just like that young ruler. Jesus, he said, he came to Jesus Christ to come and justify himself. And Jesus said, go and keep the law. He said, no, did that one. I know everything. I've been doing. Just simple one. Okay, sell everything you have and go and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. That became a problem. He never realized that was a sin of self-centeredness, selfishness. You know, he doesn't care for what happens to others. So there are little sins. The Bible calls them little foxes that spoil the vine. So beware. Number two, ungodliness tears shame and reproach. Shame and reproach. When you live in sin, the end result is shame. For instance, if a child of God is caught in adultery and fornication, do you think you'll be so proud of yourself? Now, do you think you'll be proud of yourself when you see yourself on camera and you are being reported as an armed robber? No. The same way, that's the end result of any sin. It doesn't matter whether you are caught or you are not caught. It brings shame. The end result is shame and reproach. That's why when you see offenders on TV, they always fight with the cameramen when they are trying to show them. They either kind of cover their face, or just try to fight the camera away from them. Because they are ashamed of themselves, of being caught in that kind of attitude. And that's the cost of ungodliness. If you don't want to end in shame, if you don't want your life to end in shame and reproach, run away from ungodliness. Every act of ungodliness. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And sin is a reproach. Sin brings shame. Sin brings reproach. And we are nations. We are priests and kings and nations before God. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34. We saw the end result of Samson. Because he left God and he followed the strange woman. Eventually, he lost his ability before God. He lost the Spirit of God upon him. And now he was put to shame. In Judges chapter 16, verse 23 to 25, they started mocking him. They started mocking the anointing. Look at what they said in verse 24. When the people saw him, they praised their God. Look at that. They were celebrating their God. Instead of celebrating the grace of God upon Samson, they praised their God. Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson. Look at the drunk, that's what makes, when the Bible says their hearts merry, it means they have taken something. Imagine taking a child of God to beer parlor and making mess of him. When their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. Look at that. That's mockery because of sin. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, the sin that will take you into mockery and reproach by the blood of Jesus is over in your life today. Number three, it stirs fear and dread. The word dread means great fear and apprehension. Ungodliness brings fear. You live perpetually in fear. And the truth is, when you live in fear, the end result of fear is death. Those who live in fear don't live long. Because there is a spirit that destroys in fear. But God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. But when you live in sin, you live in fear. You live in dreadfulness. You are always afraid. That's what sin does. Now, when you see someone that is running, that is driving above the speed limit, is looking left and right. So see, at times I do that too. I'm trying to catch up. So let me go a little bit above speed limit. All my senses, all my eyes are working. Left, right, back mirror to see. Okay, let me increase it a little bit more. Why? Because you're afraid. You are doing something wrong. Praise the Lord. So you are looking at me as if you didn't do it too. I'm just reporting myself. You should also be reporting yourself now. Praise the Lord. So, when someone is driving without a driver's license, you just see a car pull over. You are shaking. Or maybe your insurance just expired. You see a cop just, he was going on his way. Just like I was going somewhere like 2 days ago. I just had this siren coming. I look at my rear mirror. It was like there was no other cars. But I didn't commit any offense. I look at the speed limit again. What's going on? All of a sudden, before he got to, I made a left. So I was trying, I checked whether he's going to make a left too. So he went his way. I said, praise God. I didn't know what I do. What I do now. Praise the Lord. But the truth is, when you live in sin, you live perpetually in fear. And the end result of fear is death. Proverbs 28:1, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Number 4, the cost of ungodliness. It blocks access to divine favor. Psalm 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, for you, O Lord, we bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. God is always blessing the righteous. God always wants to favor you, but he cannot do it when you live in sin. Don't try to help yourself. Do you know the reason why people steal? The reason why they steal is because they think they can never have what they want to steal. But it's in the hand of God. You don't need to play prank. You don't need to steal. You don't need to take what belongs to you. If you truly know that what you need is in the hand of God, and no matter how expensive it is, God can bring it to you with favor. Praise the Lord. Maybe you are looking at a house and you think, oh, who can buy a house in this country? It's so expensive. You are trying to compare your salary with the cost of a house. God can favor you. You can just walk in a place. Even as a cleaner, you can walk in a place and inherit a house. There are a lot of old people who don't have anybody to give anything to as inheritance. And you may just be opportune to serve them. And they say, well, I think when we go, we want to give you this. It's already in the will for you. So that's favor. But when you begin to live in sin and you begin to get money by all means, how much can you save to get that? That's what we're talking about. Live righteously. That's what happened to the Israelites. 430 years of slavery, they recovered everything in one day by favor. Go to the Egyptians, ask them everything and anything. And the Bible says the Egyptians were favorably disposed towards them. I decree in the name of Jesus, someone here under the sound of my voice will enjoy God's favor. That was what happened to Joseph in Egypt. He enjoyed God's favor because he would not sin. He told Pharaoh's Potiphar's wife, how do you expect me to do such a great wickedness and sin against God? And favor began to follow him all the days of his life. Favor will follow you. Now, how do we deal with forces of ungodliness? Very quickly, that is the cure to the forces of ungodliness. Number 1, lay aside every weight and sin. That statement is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance or perseverance the race that is set before us. You have to run away, lay aside every sin and weight. Some things are not sinful, but they are weight. Example is going to the hospital or using medication. Here we don't tell you don't use your medication, don't go to the hospital. If you need, go. But you don't have to. It's not a sin to take medication, but you don't have to. It's a weight. You know the time it takes you to take medication, the time it takes you to go to the hospital, you know the pain you feel in your body. When you take it, you know the side effects. So it's a weight. So there are certain things that are not sinful, but they are not convenient. They don't leave you the same. That's what we're talking about. You may go to someone that drinks and you tell him, it's not good for you to drink. So show me in the Bible. If we will tell you, Paul told Timothy, for your health, take small drink. But you can ask him, are you Timothy?
So we tell you, show me. If we won't tell you, Jesus turns water to wine. So if we have everything to justify his sinful nature. Yes, the Bible may not call it sin, as it were, but it's a weight. And it says, lay aside every weight and every sin that easily beset us. So tell your neighbor, lay it aside. Number two, flee from all traps of evil. Flee. We must flee from all traps of evil. Trap. The enemy is always setting a trap. I don't know any of you that have lived in a remote place before that you cohabit with some small rats and big rats. What do? You get this trap. You set it. Anybody remembers that local trap? And you put fish or meat on it. And the rat is coming, thinking he's got a fish, want to get the fish. And the trap just activates. That's exactly what the devil, when you see something like that, you know, this is the devil here. This is the devil. You flee. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he said, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Flee. Now, certain things might not be sinful, but appear sinful. Paul says, abstain. Flee from them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, one of our fathers said, I will not position myself to be lied against. You know, there are situations that someone can lie against you simply because you position yourself. Now, if you go out with somebody that smokes and you smell smoke and you come to the house, if your wife accuses you that you are smoking, she's right. Right? Because you have positioned yourself in a way to be lied against. For instance, if you walk with an opposite sex staff, and you always go every day to lunch together, you can't find any of your mates, the same sex, to go to lunch, but the same person, opposite sex, to go to lunch together. If somebody calls your wife and tells your wife that you are friending somebody at work, is she right or wrong? Right. But you may not even have anything to do with her. Maybe it's just your colleague, you just like to go to lunch together. But that's an appearance of evil. Appearance of evil. You have to flee. So before someone will come and, you know, fabricate something against you, flee. Listen to first service. I mentioned, you know, quite, you know, some more. Number three, keep a right company. We must ensure to keep a right company. Many are punished not for the sin they committed, but for the company they kept. For instance, if your friend is an armed robber, one day he may go on a robbery assignment with you, without your knowledge, there is a robbery assignment, and they may take all of you together. He may invite you that, please, I want you to just join me to go and check something. And when he gets there, he leaves you in the car. And he enters the house. By the time he's coming, cops are already waiting. He enters the car. They're going to round up all of you. Before you begin to explain yourself that I don't know, you're already handcuffed. But not because you sinned, but because of the company you kept. So watch the company you keep. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And of course, Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, I love that scripture. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The wise man in Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise will be wise. I want you to complete this very loudly. But the companion of fools shall be... Because you saw it on the screen.
If you didn't see it on the screen, you might be tempted to say, the companion of fools shall be fools. If the companions of fools are fools, it's even better. But look at that. Companions of fools are destroyed. So that's a very serious one. So which means when you walk with the fools, you walk with the wicked, he ends in destruction. Someone here shall not be destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree by the power of the anointing, is a refining fire. This morning, every sin nature, sin habit, appearance of sin shall be burnt off your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. I'm sure somebody is blessed. Now, that is chapter 1. Now, let's go to chapter 2, the healing. Today is healing banquet. And I have good news for someone under the sound of my voice. You are seated here right now. I'm not a healer. I have never healed anyone in my life. But I know the healer. I know the great physician. And I'm here. My responsibility this morning is to show you the great physician. Connect you with him. And if you are interested, you return with your healing. And I decree in the name of Jesus, there's no one under the sound of my voice this morning who desires to be healed that will not be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. He has done it before, times without number. And you shall not be an exemption. Your healing shall be delivered in this service. Hear me. Someone is watching me right now. He said, how can I be touched? This morning, he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. The word of the Lord that is coming in this sanctuary to your home or in your car or on your device is generating healing in your body already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Or perhaps you are laid on a hospital bed. I decree in the name of Jesus, the healing power of God is reaching you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. 7 keys to healing health, wholeness, and life. Now, I said healing, health, wholeness, and life. Healing is you are sick, you'll be healed. Health is that you are not sick, you are enjoying good living. Wholeness is you are completely perfect. Life is that you are able to also heal the sick. You can tell them they can be healed and they'll be healed. So which one do you want? Life. That's the ultimate. You can never experience any form. So everything is available for you in this service. Now, number one key, the word. The word of God. The word of God is the balm in Gilead. Everyone that is wounded needs a balm. Anyone that is sick needs a balm. A balm represents medicine. A balm represents medication. So the word of God is that right medication with no side effects. There's no medication of the physician that you take without side effect except the word. And you cannot take the overdose of the word. So the word of God is the balm in Gilead. We saw that in Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 20 to 22. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then? Is not the health of my daughter, of my people recovered? This morning I have good news for you. The balm in Gilead is here. And the great physician is here. He says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 to 22, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life. Look at that. They are life. I told you life is the peak of healing, health, wholeness. Healing, health, wholeness, and life. Anything that will give you life, we give you healing, we give you health, we give you wholeness before it gives you life. Life means you are exhibiting that consistently and you also have the ability to release it to others because you can connect them to the one who has it. That's what the word of God does. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, by the word of God, coming your way this morning, regardless of what the name of that sickness is, you are being made whole. Number two key, revelation of the word of God. When you can see the word of God, you manifest it. Nobody doubts what he can see. So when you see the word of God, when the light of the word breaks forth, your health springs forth speedily. Speedily. Every time the revelation strikes from the word, healing is released.
That's why you can see somebody jumps out of wheelchair. It's because she sees the light. It's because the revelation of the light strikes. God's servant said, yay, I can never be sick because he saw light in the world that says himself took our infirmities. Took. As if he has never had took before. The past tense of take, took. He took. If he took it, I can't have it again. Praise the Lord. And since then, he's been living in perpetual health. You know the revelation that came my way? Yes, I leverage on that revelation of my father, but I also have my own personal revelation. Exodus 23, 25 to 26. You will serve the Lord your God, who will bless your bread and water. He will take away sickness from your midst. That's why I have signed my life forever to serve God. Praise the Lord. Because I know what I gain from it. He will take away. So if Satan tries to bring it, God will be taking it away as long as I am serving him with my intellect, with my resources, with my time, with my life. Praise the Lord. So what is your revelation? If you don't have any, why not leverage on the two I've told you this morning? Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, as this word is coming your way, light is breaking forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 8, it says, then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. I love Job 33 verse 21 to 25. I promise to talk about it in this second service. He said, his flesh is consumed away. Job 33, 21. That is, it cannot be seen. And his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show to man his uprightness, then is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Say with me, there is no close case with God. That's what that scripture is saying. That scripture paints the picture of someone with terminal disease. He said his flesh is consumed away. He's already emaciated. He said his bones that was not seen stuck out. You can see his bones from his skin. He's already a skinny man. He's already like a skeleton. He said his soul drawing near to destruction. That Satan is just about to terminate his life. I don't know somebody listening to me. They have given you a death sentence. The medical professional has told you cannot survive this. Or maybe somebody vowed that you are not going to survive this. See yourself in that scripture. If there be a messenger, and we have the Holy Ghost, an interpreter, and I serve as the interpreter of what the Holy Ghost is saying right now, then he will say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Then his flesh shall be fresher than like a child. Then he shall be restored. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I stand there as agents of restoration. And I decree in the name of Jesus, your health be restored. Every plague of sickness and disease in your body is over right now. Deliver him from going down to the pit, because Jesus is the ransom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Someone's chain is just broken right now. Someone is just set free right now. In the name of Jesus. When the light of the world breaks forth, your health springs forth speedily. Number three, key to healing, health, and wholeness. The price for our total health has been fully paid. Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Sickness does not glorify God. So what he's saying is, live in health, live in wholeness in your body, because ye were bought with a price. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, everything bringing shame, reproach in your body in form of sickness and disease is over today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number four. We are repositioned by redemption. For anyone that is born again, you are repositioned. You are no longer on the earth. You are no longer where Satan and sickness can reach. We have been repositioned by redemption, about Dissolve all principalities and powers that torment people. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, today, because you have a new position, Satan can never reach you again. Satan can never attack you again. In the mighty name of Jesus, maybe they have gotten you down. I decree right now, standing on this great platform, standing on the power in the blood of Jesus, every arrow the enemy shot into your life in form of sickness and disease returns back now in the name of Jesus. You know, wickedness is real. There are people that machinate evil. They manufacture evil and send it, and it's real. If you don't know how to stand in God, they can kill you. By decree in the name of Jesus, standing as your pastor this morning, hear me, every arrow the enemy send into your body that is causing sickness and disease, I decree it returns back now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. Lord, we give you praise because you are repositioned by redemption. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. You no longer belong to where they can reach. And I decree, from this time, let no man trouble you again. In the name of Jesus. Number 5, we have become a lively stone. No matter how you beat a stone, it can't feel it. You can't attack a stone, it can't feel it. But you are not a dead stone, because stone is a non-living thing. You are a living stone. It's a metaphor to tell you the kind of life you have, the kind of person you are. That is, you are untouchable. You are unbreakable. You are unharassable. You are undefeatable. You are unmolestable. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm a living stone. That's what the word says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. So you have become a living stone. You are immune to all manner of sickness and disease. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, your story has changed. Number 6, healing is our right in redemption. Healing is our right in redemption. When you are redeemed, you become a citizen of heaven. The same way when you live in this country for a while, you can fight for citizenship. And when you become a citizen, you have right to certain things. For instance, you have right to vote in election. An election is coming very soon now. I want to encourage everyone who is eligible to vote. Ensure you vote. It's your right. You need to do it. It's also your obligation to do. You can't be there physically. Make sure you return the absentee's ballot paper. Praise the Lord. Make sure you do it. But if you are not a citizen, you can't do that. You can only pray for some of us to do what is right. But very soon you become a citizen. Now, when you become the citizen of the kingdom of God, you have right to health. Satan cannot attack your health again. Satan cannot touch your body again. You have to show him the passport. You have to show him the blood price. Thank you, Jesus. Say with me, I'm a citizen of heaven. I have right to healing, health, and wholeness. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. By the blood of Jesus that brought us into redemption, we are already healed. Therefore, an end has come to that sickness in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And finally, this morning, number 7, talking about the keys to healing, health, and wholeness. Healing is bread of all the children of God. Healing is bread. That's how cheap healing is. That's how cheap healing is to God. You don't struggle to give your children bread. I mean, that's the easiest one. And as soon as you get bread from the store, you can start eating it. Praise the Lord. It doesn't take time. There are some food, 1 hour is not ready. Especially some of my African friends. You know, before you get this condiment, you get this one, you put this one, you put this one. Children are already crying. Mommy, I'm hungry. Look at the food I'm still cooking. I'm hungry. But bread, as soon as you take it, if it's hungry, it can eat it like that. Without egg, without anything, without butter, it's good to go. That's how much the healing is available. So as you are taking it right now, you are receiving it and you are activating it and you are feeding on it in the name of Jesus. However, it's for the children. And the Bible says we can't give the meat of children to the dogs. Don't position yourself as a dog. Healing is children's meat. That's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 15 verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, the bread is available for you this morning. As long as you are enlisted as a child of God, you are receiving your own bread this morning. Jump to your feet, lift up your hands. Let's appreciate Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.